All right, so we'll talk about that later, because now we got Jason Wilde. So
we'll catch him in the next segment.
Jason, thanks for taking the time to join us. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Sorry I kept you waiting. We had a bit of a situation where someone forgot their volleyball bag for practice. And so some people had to go frantically running to deliver it, and I apologize for apologize on Sydney's behalf for me being late.
I thought it was gymnastics, so I was wrong on my prediction on why Jason Wilde was late.
Yeah, it's always one or the other in this time of the year. So, and then in the spring, I'm sure it'll be soccer or something else. But my parents totally would have been like, "Too bad, you're gonna have to practice in your clothes that you wore to school and your shoes that you have on your feet, which are like flip flops." But that's not how we roll.
And as you shouldn't. So that's the right way to do it there. We are actually here at North and South. I know the last time we did a show here, we were leading in front of Kelly Sheffield, and now we have you on again, and we're leading in front of the Kelly Sheffield show, as you brought up volleyball. That'll be coming on here live at North and South Seafood Smokehouse in Verona. But, Jason, I saw some news today, and I'm not – is it Connor Senger? Is that how you say his last name?
Sure. Sounds good to me.
What's that? Did I say it wrong? I say names wrong all the time.
I have no idea.
Okay.
This is one of those things about being in radio. You know, obviously I've been in it now for quite a while, so I don't have an excuse anymore. But, like, I used to just think, well, as long as I spell it right, it doesn't really matter. But now, like, you got to say the guy's name right. And I said his name the same way, but we both might be wrong.
So with Connor, though, he is someone you brought up the last time you were on, is someone that could be a Packers. I'm just going to go with Connor now. Just like a Giannis, I'm all first name basis here. So Shams, yeah, it's but with Connor, I have no confidence in being able to say last names anymore. But with Connor here, he is being floated now as a potential for the Bears offensive coordinator job. But you brought him up as someone that could be a Packers quarterback coach replacement for Sean Mannion, and he's got ties to the state of Wisconsin. So just someone that could be in the mix here, and I know the Bears lost out to Mannion to the Packers, and this could be an opportunity where it flip-flops this time.
Well, and look, I don't know exactly how the shirtless wonder likes to utilize his offensive coordinator, but he, you know, I mean, Ben Johnson is the offensive coordinator, just like Matt LaFleur is the Packers offensive coordinator. So, you know, I would say that a jump all the way up to coordinator, even for a play calling coordinator job, seems like a big jump from basically being a slightly above quality control coach, which is what he was in Arizona. Our guy Connor, who we're all on a first name basis with. Now, I don't know what his working relationship was like with Jonathan Gannon, but obviously he was working for Gannon. And Sam Siefkas, their new linebackers coach, was with Gannon in Arizona too. And if there's a team where I want to get as many people as I can onto my staff, it's the Arizona Cardinals. Good luck, Mike LaFleur. But I'm guessing there's a lot of good people that have worked there that couldn't overcome the institutional ineptitude and dysfunction. So
yeah.
I wish Mike LaFleur the best, and maybe our guy Connor and Sam, and I at least looked up Siefkas's last name so I could say it correctly. So I put in that effort. But yeah, he went to Pius. He started out at UW. He was the scout team player of the year 2 years running at Madison, which I'm fascinated by, because then maybe you should have let him play once in a while. and then he transferred to Oshkosh. Like, he'd be a cool story. You guys know how much I love the story.
Yeah.
Like, he'd be a cool hire from a story perspective. I think the Bills also had an interest in him. So I don't know where he's at currently. And look, just because you interview somewhere doesn't mean you got to go there, right? I mean, Scott Tolzien interviewed with Mike McCarthy in Pittsburgh, and he decided to stay as the quarterback's coach in New Orleans instead of becoming the offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh, which I thought was really interesting. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how this plays out. But look, let's all be honest here. None of us has a clue whether our guy Connor is a good coach or not, right? We had not even heard of him until last week. At least I have. And so I'm, you know, if there are people that know a lot more about him than me that think, hey, this is a guy that's an up and comer, then you definitely need him on your staff. And if he's in this much demand, that's a pretty good sign.
Jason, what questions are you looking to get answered by Brian Gutekunst tomorrow during his press conference?
Yeah, that's a great. I love how you phrase that question, Molly, because there are questions that I'm looking to get answered. I'm not sure if I actually will.
Yeah.
Right. But I think a couple things. I mean, one, you know, the idea of, I don't want to call it the status quo, but, you know, basically running it back with mostly the same, obviously the three people at the top of the organizational flowchart on the football side, and then also most of the offensive staff and the special team staff that would appear. You know, is that an indicator that you really do believe you had a Super Bowl contending team and that it would be foolish to blow everything up? That's one question. Another one would be, it would appear that if your philosophy of basically using guys up and then letting them walk in free agency is going to continue, you're about to lose a hell of a lot of guys that played a hell of a lot of snaps for you. So how do you go about making sure that you don't take a step back when you have that many changes in terms of starters or contributors? And that's not even including Rashawn Gary and or Elgton Jenkins, who are more likely than not going to be released as well. But to me, the biggest question is, you talked about urgency when you talked after last season, much sooner than you did after this past season. Now what? Did you feel like you guys showed the proper amount of urgency and it didn't get you to where you wanted to go, in part because of injuries? So what does your idea of urgency look like now? Those would be my top three.
Mm-hmm. Those are great questions. I hope they all get answered. Jason,
well,
so...
I appreciate that, man.
It's such a pause.
Part of the challenge.
Like, well, I'm moving on.
Goodness
part of
gracious.
The challenge. It was a period in the sentence.
Well, it's hard to get... I'll be honest with you, and we're actually experiencing it right now. There's a couple of reporters that cover the team. I'm not going to mention them by name. But they are so good at timing up the end of an answer to get their question in that I don't think they actually are listening for the actual answer that's being given, because I've heard them ask essentially the same question again because they're just totally focused on when the period is coming at the end of the sentence. So I just experienced that in the opposite where no one really knew if I was done or not. So
well,
I'm bad at both ends.
No, we knew Matt's break. It was just, it's cold, and the engine was turning a little there, because I saw Matt getting ready to ask a question.
Well, I wanted to pivot, and I wasn't sure if he was going to say anything. So, yeah, I was giving him an opening, and then I cut him off. So
and then you left it open.
Yeah. Jason, I've got a different question. No. As a Wisconsin guy currently, and you've been here for a long time.
Jason Wilde, just Shams reporting, getting traded to ESPN Chicago for a reporter to be named later. All right.
No, it's a kind of football question. So if you've got a football team that has an owner that is notoriously a terrible football team, what sort of confidence would you have in them running a different league's sports team? Is it fair to say you don't know how to run a sports team, period? Or would you say maybe you can't do football, but basketball might be your thing? Like, is that fair to just have this assumption that you're not going to be good at owning a football team? It could be anybody. It's a hypothetical.
No. Clearly, you're not talking about anybody specific at all.
No.
Very smooth.
Since we carry their games and all. But, you know, I might know his initials. They're JH.
John Hamm?
I'd rather have him.
NFL
no.
honors?
I gotta be honest, I think I'd rather have John Hamm.
Yeah.
you know, try something different. Loved him in Top Gun Maverick, who's kind of the bad guy a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't love owners in general, right? Like, I think I was talking to Ron Wolf today. Talked to him for an hour, and obviously he's really excited about Elliot Wolf, his son, and the Patriots. But he did say during the conversation, and I don't think this is a reflection on Elliot and how he goes about his job, but he did emphasize how good it is to be in Green Bay and not have an owner. Owners are rich, know-it-all jerks a lot of the time, right? I mean, if we're being totally honest.
Yes.
Who think they know it all. You think you know, but you really don't know, and you never will. And so, I think I'm more impressed when an owner doesn't screw things up, right? Like, I'm more impressed by those guys because they have the ability to humble themselves and say, you know what, I'm going to let football people make good football decisions. Like, how about the Wilf family, right? Like, they seem to have gotten their coach right? But they decided to try something out of the box with their GM, and they completely messed up their organization. Like, yeah, I understand they went 14-3 a year ago, but that was largely smoke and mirrors, right? And the fact that you had a good quarterback. And then you managed to have two guys that aren't Aaron Rodgers, aren't Hall of Fame quarterbacks, but you had Daniel Jones and you had Sam Darnold in your building, and you managed to keep neither. And so
Daniel Jones.
I think generally speaking, owners are really good at making money and not really good at much of anything else. And so, you know, I think John Horst has done a really good job. I know that's not a popular opinion, but I was listening to you guys after I finally dropped off the volleyball backpack. And, you know, I don't know if I agree with Matt saying that he had one hand tied behind his back, but he certainly had someone making his job more difficult. Whereas Goody basically said, screw you, Aaron Rodgers, I don't care. Okay, I'll give you Randall Cobb only because the guy that I drafted is going to be a complete and utter train wreck if we don't bring you back in 2021. Right? I mean, they would have ruined Love had he had a play in 2021. And so, okay, we'll trade away a pick to get Randall Cobb for you, but that's it. I don't want to hear anything else. You are not the GM. Which, by the way, in fairness to Goody, based on how other players have played GM while playing, is probably the right decision, right?
Yeah.
Like, most players aren't good at it. I understand that they were getting older. I understand all that. But trading Drew Holiday, and I am biased on that, they were just unlucky with Dame. But, my God, like, what is he, 37?
Yeah.
He's not young.
Goody wouldn't have got him.
No, Goody wouldn't have got him if he was 27. No.
He would have yelled at him. Yeah, he's done.
I was say, he would have put him in a nursing home.
Correct. 35. Good one. There you go. That's the better line. That was well done, Molly. So again, I don't want to say that this is an ownership problem, but they've tried pushing every button, right? I mean, quite frankly, given where we stand today, because of course we're talking in generalities, not about the Bucks in particular.
Right.
But
right,
where they right. stand today, if you'd have known you were going to end up here by February 3rd anyway, then you don't stretch Damian Lillard, you don't trade for Miles Turner, and you just say, all right, well, forget it. We'll just, you know, we'll get ready to trade our guy, and that'll be it.
Mm-hmm. Jason,
that was a period
great stuff.
At the
we appreciate you. Jason, great stuff. We appreciate your time.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
That was Jason Wilde. We're going to eat. This is Jim Matt Mott, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light. Vote for Jim, Matt, and Molly as Madison's best radio team every day this month at MadisonMagazine.com.